Welcome to Dyscalculia Headlines Weekly, a podcast where we share news, information, resources, tips and tricks about dyscalculia. You can subscribe to this podcast via iTunes and then search for Dyscalculia Headlines. You can also find us on the web at dyscalculiaheadlines.com and then click on the podcast page.
Great new book to teach fractions, Pattern Mathematics, Effects of Musical Training on Children with Developmental Dyscalculia, Do More to be a Champion for Students with Disabilities, and Tips for Dyscalculia at Work. This is our podcast for week 27 in 2023, and we welcome Dr. Schroeder, the founder of Dyscalculia Services, to help us review the links of the week. Thank you, Dr. Schroeder. Welcome.
So happy to be back again.
Yeah, it's great. We have some nice links that we want to go over with you as usual. The first link is about a book to learn fractions now. What's the magic here?
Yes, well, this is definitely magic. We're very, very proud. It's a very nice link to start with because this book is made by one of our graduates, Miss Jackie Knox. And she has developed this little book. It's a beauty. And it gives fantastically illustrated pages with clear examples of how fractions work and how they can be equivalent to each other. A very nice start, easy and clear. And she includes tips for teachers about which and pages to use and how and for which part of their lessons. Now, it is available through the Teachers Pay Teachers platform and absolutely worth the price. So from here, a big congratulations to Miss Jackie Knox.
Well, and congratulations to you. One of your graduates is making it in the world of dyscalculia. That's good. Now, the next link is about Pattern, and it is spelled P-A-P-I-A-N, mathematics. What is that?
That's actually a little bit of a mathematical joke.
Isn't it?
Because those two T's together that look like a P are actually part of an abbreviation, and it stands for Pennsylvania Training and Tutorial Assistance.
Okay.
And Teaching Assistance, sorry. So it's hard two T's, but if you put them together, they look like the pie. Anyway, it is also in collaboration with the Bureau of Special Education, BSE, and then the Pennsylvania Department of Education.
Okay.
And this website.
You're well connected.
P-A-T-T-A-N or P-A-P-I-A-N gives a big array of professional development and technical assistance to targeted to improve student results. Actually, the T is from technical, the second T. Sorry, misremember that. Anyway, so this professional development and technical assistant takes many forms in order to help the needs of the stakeholders, the patent's constituents. So, for example, they have week-long summer institutes, ongoing professional development, webinars, on-site assistant, individual student or teacher support. So it's really
a whole array of
things.
Yeah.
And so their website has lots of good information for teachers. And now one of their pages gives also a good awareness of dyscalculia. And they say, for example, and I totally agree with that, that in order to be an engaged citizen in this world currently, adults must be way more mathematically aware than in previous times.
True.
So
the
importance of math has increased over time.
Yep.
And they provide the resources to help for that. And the videos, I saw several handouts also. So certainly a site to visit.
Yeah, for example, my mom never had to reconcile a credit card statement because there were no credit cards.
That's true.
Yeah. Well, the next link tells us that musical training helps with learning math. How can that be? Do we need to hand out violins in elementary
now,
school?
Maybe not violins.
Instead of the times tables?
But rhythm instruments might be a good suggestion. Well, actually, this is from Frontiers in Psychology. They published it. It's a study was done in Brazil. And they say that musical training is done there as a multi-sensory program. And because it's multi-sensory, that means that at the same time you have visual and auditory and kinesthetic input. And it's also very playful. So also this musical training can stimulate cognitive function in a very happy and light-hearted way, instead of just tapping straight into the traditional context of school learning, including mathematics, that usually still unfortunately comes with a lot of worksheets. So what they did in this study is they assessed students at the start. Then after 7 weeks, after 14 weeks at the end of the training, but also 10 weeks after the training, because they wanted to see if that musical lesson that those kids received, if it actually stayed in their their brain.
Okay.
So they compared typically developing students, 22, and also 22 students in third grade who had difficulties. So, and those kids who had difficulties at the start actually showed higher scores in number comprehension and number production. And like I said, they did follow-up 10 weeks after the training, and that positive effect was still there. So that is, it's a time-resistant progress that those kids make.
Okay, well.
And obviously the dyscalculia
group. Sounds like they're
proving
their point, yeah.
Right, obviously the dyscalculia group changed more for the better.
Sure.
And it's a very interesting study. They also did some abstract visual reasoning for both groups. So that also worked for both groups, for the children with and without dyscalculia.
Okay.
So basically, musical training appears to be a useful tool for compensatory remediation. It's not the actual remediation, but it kind of opens the way, it facilitates the channels for those children to be more receptive to the math learning.
It's good news for all of music teachers.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Now, the next link urges us to be more of a champion for children with disabilities. What happened?
Well, this is a very nice post. It's about a girl who got the opportunity on July 4th to speak, mind you, to the National Education Association's annual representative assembly.
There you go.
So, very briefly, she took that opportunity. So, and I quote, she said, "I beg you to look for the lonely child sitting by themselves at school. The child that no one picks for play or group work."
This is absolutely sweet and brave of that child to bring that forward. So good.
Work to say that for such a big audience with important people. So this is really a good reminder for all educators that only looking to support the smart and fast children in class is not the whole assignment.
No.
The slow ones, the ones that hide behind their classmates in the back of the class,
they need
support and attention, and maybe be referred to specialized tutoring classes. So a very nice
speech she did
here.
Certainly, definitely. Well, that brings us to the last link for this week. And this gives us tips for dyscalculia at work. What can we learn here?
Well, this is on the website dyscalculia.org. And they have published already a lot. And now they have some tips for people, actually mostly adults. And I think that's important because the majority of posts that we see about dyscalculia refer to children, to students, maybe middle or high school, but usually there are not a lot of adults included. So this is a good thing to have. And they have some tips, like make it a habit to leave early. Because a lot of people with dyscalculia have a tendency to get lost or make a wrong calculation right. about their traveling time.
Yep.
So also try to arrive ahead of time so that you do not feel rushed and you have all your materials ready. Then they say park near a landmark and make a picture for reference where you are.
Right.
Because how many are losing where their car was parked? Make it a habit to store keys in an important and other important items in a regular, safe, easily accessible place. Because that's another thing with location. If you cannot memorize the location, then you're losing a lot of time yes. looking for it. This is yes. not only a thing that we see with people who have ADHD, but these people who have a location issue, which can be part of the dyscalculia, just really do not realize where is what. And then take screenshots of key numbers and email them to yourself for easy future access, because that, I think, is the one of the best suggestions here, because how many times do they mistype in important numbers, particularly now you have to work on websites so often.
Right.
And it's annoying if you cannot access something just because you do not know the numbers anymore. So there are lots of more good tips and things to make your life a little bit easier when you work in an environment when you have a learning disability like dyscalculia. So, yeah, if you are an adult who struggles with these things, these are good suggestions. Also, use a voice dictation to have important dates and times in a phone calculator and set up alerts so that you do not miss right. important meetings.
Very good. Very good. Well, thank you, Dr. Schroeder, for stepping in and sharing your insights. We hope to see you again next week for our little get-together. Dr. Schroeder, the founder of DyscalculiaServices.com. Now, she, as she was mentioning adults, she works for children and adults. So you can go to her website, adultdyscalculia.org, and browse around there. She also makes sure that adults have access to diagnostic assessments. And all of that online and done by Dr. Schroeder.
Dyscalculia Headlines Weekly is a production from DyscalculiaHeadlines.com. You can find us on the web at DyscalculiaHeadlines.com and we are on Twitter at DyscalculiaHead. You can also find us on Facebook. We have a board on Pinterest and on Flipboard. Search for Dyscalculia Headlines or follow the links on our webpage. You can send your questions, comments and contributions to communications@DyscalculiaHeadlines.com and we may even discuss it in one of our upcoming podcasts. We hope this was useful for you, and until next week, you can count on us.